An official advisor to the G20 says Australia should be encouraging energy efficiency as the first fuel and not subsidising new coal-fired power stations. Benoit Lebeau is Executive Director of the International Partnership for Energy Efficiency Cooperation. He's currently in Australia to report back to the G20 on energy policy. Benoit Lebeau says energy efficiency could be the answer to the current gas crisis hitting Australian manufacturing, with soaring gas and energy bills more broadly threatening the viability of a lot of businesses. Benoit Lebeau is speaking with Greg Borschmann.
There are many successes around the world. Typically, a building being built today in Europe consumes on average up to 75% less energy than the same building built 20 years ago. This is because we have advanced the technique of building insulation, better design, and so on. So, yes, typically, European countries have led the way to make buildings more energy efficient through thermal regulation.
But it's not just buildings, is it?
Absolutely. In the US, for instance, there's a big success on the energy efficiency improvement on equipment, appliances, like from TV set to air conditioner, from clothes washer to light bulbs. The government has set some targets, some minimum performance target that manufacturers and businesses have to comply. So they can only bring to the market those equipment that are meeting those energy performance. And when you add up all this transformation of markets, that translates into some serious, massive energy improvement and serious energy efficiency.
We call it the low-hanging fruit. So how much is left? How much can we still squeeze out of the system in terms of efficiency?
Oh, it's very clear. When we assess the total potential, we estimate that in the world we can reduce the building consumption by almost a factor of 4. We can reduce the total energy consumption of existing building by a factor of 4.
So that's a quarter of our existing building
Absolutely.
Energy use.
And we can even go beyond on buildings. On industry, the potential is more in the order of a reduction by 3 in industry. On transport, the numbers I have in mind is also a division by half, roughly, of the energy consumed in transport.
Australia at the moment is being hit by rising electricity prices, but also concerns over energy security. Yet there is very little public talk or focus on energy efficiency or energy productivity. Should there be, and what difference would it make?
Absolutely. I greatly encourage the authorities and partners consider energy efficiency as a fuel and give it a chance as much as they give a chance to the other fuel. Once you consider that energy efficiency is a fuel where you invest and you generate some reduction, it can change. And this is a concept of energy efficiency first. And the government has to put in place the carrot, the sticks, and the tambourines. The carrot are the incentive to engage the investment in clean energy and energy efficient solution. The stick is all this regulation, this minimum performance and building codes and regulation that we can think to push the market. And the tambourine is just to make sure that the message is well understood.
One of the carrots that the government is talking about to solve this problem is a carrot for the building of new, efficient coal-fired power stations. If we were serious about energy efficiency, would we not need to do that?
The principle of energy efficiency first in Europe is to consider that whenever there is a discussion about a future investment in any dimension of energy, we consider energy efficiency as one option. When there is a need to invest in a new power plant, whatever the power plant that is, renewable energy or coal or oil or nuclear, it is very important that we take into account the possibility to also invest on energy efficiency and to wait. Where can we have the most immediate impact? In California, for instance, it is embedded in the policy that there is equal consideration of what we can do on the demand side for energy efficiency and what we can do on the supply side to increase supply more.
Well, let's look at that demand side, because how much is this also going to involve demand management, cutting demand at peak times in smart ways? That is expected to be a key component of recommendations from the current review of Australia's energy policy by our chief scientist, Dr. Finkel. How does energy efficiency intersect or support those sort of changes?
Energy efficiency has always been great in managing demand in peak. By having energy efficient equipment, we can reduce the level of the peak. And all these connected devices can help energy efficiency to go a step further to make sure that your air conditioner goes on only when it is authorized, when there is a supply of electricity. We are facing a very interesting revolution. So being smart and efficient is the next step of managing the energy grid.
Let's look specifically at gas prices. They threaten to wipe out entire businesses in Australia at the moment, hit by increases of millions of dollars in their energy bills, with gas prices rising from $4 per gigajoule to more than $10 per gigajoule in recent months. But are there lessons from a country like Germany, say, for example, which has had to deal with higher gas prices also in recent years?
Look at countries like Germany or Denmark. The price of energy is very high. Those countries are doing well in terms of growth, GDP, job creation, and so on. A country like Germany, where energy is being highly priced, the market has understood, and this is where you see the most aggressive program towards energy efficiency.
If energy productivity is not just about improving the bottom line, but is also about cutting carbon emissions, the concern must surely be not the developed world, but the developing world. For example, urban populations and energy use are skyrocketing. What's the solution there?
Very important to understand that the energy demand worldwide will be coming from the emerging economies, from the least developed country. Just looking at the population growth, we know that urban population in some area of the world, I will take Africa, the urban population will double between 2010 and 2030. It is in the way we are organizing the urban environment, the infrastructure, the mobility, the buildings. This is where we have the largest margin for investing in energy efficiency. So the key here is to make sure that we bring to the local policymakers, to the stakeholders, this dimension that they should really mainstream the imperative of climate change, all the techniques from energy efficiency to make sure that this development of this urban environment is done on the least cost and lowest carbon footprint.
You started in this game 30 years ago at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California back in 1987. Does it frustrate you that in the 30 years since we haven't done as much as perhaps you dreamed about then?
There's a beauty in energy efficiency is that it always comes back. You can improve a system by 50% and then you revisit and you realize that you can also improve the system because innovation is part of the game and there is no limit to innovation. And we have seen improvement in lighting system. First, we reduced by half and then by 80%, and now typically on lighting, there is a new revolution with LED. Buildings, we were first targeting a reduction of 30% and now 50%, and I just reported 70% cut. So energy efficiency is part of the innovation and part of the modernity. Energy efficiency is one of these low-hanging fruit of climate change mitigation. But this fruit, when it is picked, grow back. And this is why there is room and always more. And I never be bored in doing this work on energy efficiency.
Benoit Lebeau, thank you for talking to RN Breakfast.
Thank you very much, Craig.
That's Benoit Lebeau, Executive Director of the International Partnership for Energy Efficiency Cooperation in Australia, to report back to the G20 on Australia's progress on energy efficiency.